We're going to screen this. You're going to be on TV, but we're waiting. Go. This is Michael and Naomi Ursland. They are missionaries, as we have prayed for them for years, and they're doing work in Ghana, Africa.
Yes.
Wow. So to all the people just tuning in on TV, this is Michael and Naomi. God bless you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for letting us join you today. It's a joy to get to be here. It's something that I've looked forward to for several years. When I was in Ghana, I knew that there'd be a time when I'd be coming back to the U.S. and get to travel around and get to reconnect with people. And Trinity is definitely one of those churches with special people that I was looking forward to coming back to. So thank you. And also with COVID back in April, Naomi and I, we had the opportunity, since we weren't able to go to church in person, we were able to join different churches around the U.S. In Trinity, we were able to join you guys a couple services. So thank you for providing that. Thank you to those in the back with the technology and the sounds. That's a huge blessing. It was a huge blessing for us, and it's a huge blessing still for other people today who aren't able to get out. So thank you. Let's begin with prayer. How's that sound? Okay. Our Father in heaven, we thank you very much for the day that you've given us, the opportunity to come and hear your word proclaimed in English, in a language that we understand. We thank you for the word as it goes out. We hear that it does not go out and remain empty, but it grows. And in our readings today, we pray, Lord, we hear of the seed that's sown and the seed that grows in good soil. And we pray that your word lives and dwells within us in our lives, and that your word will grow in us into an abundant harvest. Please be with us during this time as we get to hear about the work that you're doing in and through us all in this room and around the world of Bible translation and bringing your word to other people so that they can hear and also know of you. We give thanks to you. In your name we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, we can go to the next slide. I'd like to introduce to you someone new. So last time it was just me coming through here. And now there's someone else that's added. And this is Naomi Ursland.
Yeah, it's a joy to be here with you and to see you in person after hearing about all of you and joining you for church via Facebook, and to meet all of you. Just to share a little bit about myself, as you've all met Michael previously, I'm a missionary kid. I was born in Nigeria and lived there through high school graduation. I then attended Concordia University, Wisconsin, which is where I first met Michael, just being involved in campus ministry. At Concordia, I did my bachelor's and master's in occupational therapy. So I'm an occupational therapist, been working in Topeka, Kansas the last couple of years, and then, yeah, until December when we got married, and we'll share a little bit more about that. Thank you.
A few things about yourself.
Oh, yeah, just a few things about myself, hobbies, just to kind of share a little bit more. I like to sew. I give thankful my mother took the time to teach me. So, like this dress, I sewed this dress. My wedding dress that is in the picture, I sewed that. It's just something I enjoy. I also like playing flute, clarinet, bassoon. I was really privileged to have had the opportunity to be in band at the American International School that I went to and was able to continue that in college. It's just a hobby. I enjoy it. And yeah, I love people. I just getting to meet people, get to spend time with people. People are a blessing, and yeah, a little bit about myself.
Thank you. Okay, the next slide. I'd like to give a brief recap of what's been going on. We're with Lutheran Bible Translators, and where I've been working is in Ghana, West Africa. And the tip of that arrow is pointing to about the spot in Ghana where I was living. It's the northern part of the country is where I am. I'm closer to the Sahara Desert than I am to the Gulf of Guinea. I've seen the Gulf, though I haven't seen the desert. I've felt the desert blow by, though, during dry season, literally. And so I went there in 2016, and I was there for about 3 years. I came back to the U.S. in May of 2019. And the people that I work with are the Komba people. They had the New Testament, which this is the Komba New Testament. It was dedicated in 2014. They started work in 2003, and then in 2014 it was finished and dedicated. And they wanted the Old Testament also. And after the New Testament was dedicated, they began work on the lectionary, Old Testament readings. And what the lectionary are the readings that we have every Sunday in the church year. Here in this morning, it came from, I'm going to mess it up if I say Isaiah. But so the same readings we had today, they also have there, like 6 hours before us, 7 hours before us. They've already had this exact same readings. But what they were doing is they were picking a few people who had a high enough education to be able to look at an English version and try to translate on the spot into Komba. And that's, it's challenging for those who know other languages. It's really hard to do that in another language on the spot and to make those decisions. And so they started doing the translation of the lectionary, and I went over in 2016 when that work was kind of the little after the beginning stages of that. And what I do is I work as an exegete and a linguist. And what that means is an exegete is someone who reads out of the original language, pulls out of it. And so I look at the Hebrew for the Old Testament to see what's the culture, what's the language for the original text, and to provide a resource to that for the translators that I work with. A linguist is someone who studies different languages. It doesn't mean that I speak a ton of different languages, just like an ophthalmologist doesn't have 500 eyes or a dentist doesn't have 2,000 teeth. They just work with eyes and teeth. A linguist works with languages. So I study the Komba language, and as I work with them in the translation project, that gives me an opportunity to say, hey, I noticed this thing about your language, about Komba, and you guys say something like this. Does this sound natural here? And the translators will be like, oh yeah. Wow, you know pure Komba. I'm like, okay, I'm still learning, but thank you. and so it's a way to provide an outsider's perspective of the language as they do the translation work. I came back in May of last year, and in the fall I was taking master's classes towards a degree in applied linguistics with a focus in Bible translation in Dallas. And then after we got married in December, we went back to Dallas and I finished my classes for my master's degree. And I'm working on, I'd like to write a thesis instead of take comprehensive exams. So I'm working on a thesis right now. And so this summer I'm working towards a literature review. And we'll see, we'll share a little bit more about what the future looks like. But let's go to the next one. All right, so I work as an exegete, a linguist, contractor, a maintenance and repair person. I'm an uncle, electrician, app builder, moto driver. A moto is a motorcycle. Yeah, I know, kind of shocking when you look at me like, you drive a motorcycle? Yes, I did. I didn't know, but when I went there, I learned. And so all those things, it's many hats, but it's me, one person who gets to do all those different things. And there come a lot of stories with that. And some people may say, so what's the best thing about living in Ghana? And like, how do we condense 3 years into this 1 minute conversation? Good luck, sorry. So what we'll do for the next, for the time that we have ahead, is share a few different stories to give you a glimpse into these different aspects of life for me there in Ghana, and hopefully next time we come back in the future after being there, Naomi will also have some stories also. So let's go to the next one, the office. I work with a wonderful team of Komba men, and these are the people that they are. On the left is Uncle Wajak. He's the senior translator for the Komba Project. Then next to him in the orange is Sumani, followed by Pastor Ima, that's me. Mr. Elijah is the office manager. He's also my junior father or my uncle there. And then Nathan Esla is the other expatriate on the far edge on the right. He's the translation consultant for the project. And so I work with primarily in the office with Mr. Elijah, Pastor Yema, Sumani, and Uncle Wajak. And I'll just give a recap of how the translation process looks. So one of those three men to the left there, what they'll do is they'll translate from an English version into Komba. Say, we'll give the book of Genesis to Uncle Wajak. And his task is to then translate the whole book. Once it's finished, then we sit down as a group of four of us in the office, the four Komba men and myself. We project onto a wall the text, and we read verse by verse. And so this is then called team checking. And what they get to do is they read it in Komba, they read it in English, and I'm following in my computer to look at the Hebrew. And it's a time to have dialogue and to see, hey, this is really, it kind of sounds a little choppy, or maybe we spell this in Komba actually this way. That doesn't sound so natural in Komba. That's their discussion. I'll be asking questions saying, oh, hey, so how do you look at this in the language? How do you say this? Or, hey, the Hebrew is saying this right here. It's not conveyed in the English because for us as English speakers, it doesn't sound natural. But would this sound natural in Komba? And so, oh, yeah, that's natural in Komba. That sounds great. And so that's how we have this dialogue going verse by verse through the book. Then once it's finished, we send it out to people to proofread, and then that comes back. We make proofreading. We make those adjustments. And then Nathan Esla, he comes and he consultant checks the book with us. So he'll sit down and we'll look at bigger chunks of the book to see how well it's been worked through. He'll check for consistency, he'll check for the language consistency, for exegesis, for aspects of the Hebrew culture and the original languages. Once that's finished and he gives us our homework for things to dust up and correct, it's then ready for trial publication. So for trial, what we have ready for trial publication are the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Psalms, and the Old Testament lectionary readings. So they've done a lot. We've almost finished drafting, I think, the Old Testament. They will finish, I think, this year, potentially. They've done the prophets. They're now working in the wisdom literature books, which is the hardest, and that'll be then the closure. And then we'll do team checking, and that's what will take a lot of time. So a quick story about a team checking session. My mom and dad were able to come and visit me in 2018, and this is a story from a time when they were there and they got to witness it. This is my mom and dad over here. You guys could just wave real quick. They're passing through. We were up with seeing family. And so when they heard, oh, we'll be here, they said, can we come and listen to your presentation? Yeah. So one day we were working, we were team checking actually several days, Exodus, the end of Exodus. It talks about the building of the tabernacle. As a younger kid, I didn't really read that portion of the Old Testament. It kind of seemed boring. And even through high school and into college, that's a lot of information. And it's kind of like, how is this relevant to my life? But when you do Bible translation, you kind of have to translate the whole Bible. It's important, and it's good. And so we're working through Exodus, and I get to work through this with the translators. And God has so much amazing detail that he puts into his word that when I get to stop and look at it, I see, wow, that's why that's in there. It shows that God's this architect. God is this artist. He has a design. He has a purpose, a way that he wants to interact with us. So let's walk through the tabernacle. As we enter the tabernacle, you come from the east going into the west. It was always set up that way. Now they would move it, pick it up, and move it around, but the entrance was always from the east going into the west. And you would have these big basins with you where they would have wash basins. You would also have these big altars that they would perform sacrifices at. And then you would come up to the tent of meeting, and only special priests would be able to go into the tent of meeting, specific people out of the tribe of Levi. And again, you always would enter from the east going into the west. And when they came into this special tent of meeting, you would have around you this lampstand, and it would always be burning. You would have next to you also this bread, the bread of presence. There would always be bread that's there. In front of you, there would be this altar of incense, and in behind that would be this curtain that separates this special place from what would have the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. And as we hear, it may sound interesting, like, what's the importance of these things here in the tabernacle? And why is there so much design put into them? And why is God telling them where to put these things? Well, we get to hear from the psalmist as he interacts with Scripture. And as other people throughout Scripture interact, some of these hints of how God reveals himself. And as Jesus also reveals himself, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And Jesus also says, I am the light of the world. And here we have the bread that is always present. Here we have the lampstand and the lights that are always present before us. We hear from the psalmist that we sometimes sing for, I think it's evening, no, for Vespers. It's a service that's in the hymnal. Let my prayers rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And here's the psalmist interacting with the tabernacle, but also maybe with the temple worship of God wants to hear our prayers. They're special. They're smelling. They're this beautiful aroma. And here that is always burning before God in the desert. And then behind that curtain, then we have the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments, a little bit of manna, Aaron's staff. And that reveals that God, he always interacts with us. He wants to be present with us. He wants to live with us. And as we get to translate this text into the Komba language, they get to have access to that too. God is present and speaks Komba. How cool is that? God speaks English. How cool is that? There's around 7,000 languages in the world today. Out of those 7,000 languages, around, I think, 700 to 800 have a complete Bible. About a third of the languages of the world have complete New Testaments. Komba is blessed to be one of those. And around a third of the languages of the world don't have any portion of Scripture translated into them. I've seen pastors signing earlier. There are a lot, loads of languages that are sign language that don't have access to Scripture. This year, the first sign language, complete sign language Bible was dedicated ever in the globe. Praise the Lord. So there's a lot of languages around the world, and we're blessed to be a part of it. Let's go to the next slide. Mission ground. So, all right, you see up there, there's some bees. Who knew that I would be a beekeeper when I went to Ghana? But, you know, it kind of, you know, when I think about missions, like way back, people living in, I don't know, mission compounds here in the U.S., for some reason, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe you could see beekeepers there, but I didn't figure I'd be a beekeeper when I went to Ghana. So about that, I live on a mission grounds in Bintiri, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, that's their grounds, and it's a blessing that they extend to Lutheran Bible translators to let me live there. And so my responsibility is to oversee the maintenance of that area, to make sure things are running well, to make sure that the buildings are kept up to date, that the termites are kept out from getting to the ceiling, that the water keeps flowing from the water cistern to the uptank so that if people come through, they can have water, because, I mean, otherwise, there's no plumbing. I'm my plumber, I'm my electrician, need to hook up the generator to the house. That was something I felt accomplished when I had someone help teach me how to do that. Well, these bees, oh my goodness. So this is the door to the water tower. And the bees, one day, they like cool spaces. And we had a problem with them in one of the buildings, and Mr. Elijah, I asked him if he could come help take care of the bees, because he doesn't mind the bees. He can get stung a ton of times, and he's all right with that. I'm like, okay, well, thank you. So he removed the bees from the attic of that building, but they needed a new home. Isn't that sad? So their new home became my water tower. And so then that's kind of a problem when you have to go into that door to turn on the pump, to pump water, to go up above so that you can have water to drink that week. And you have these neighbors there just, you know, swarming around you. But anyways, so he's like, no, we need to wait till October because then we can harvest the honey. Seriously? It's August. Okay, so we'll wait a couple months. So put on my jacket, zip up, tie stuff up. Open the door, I go in, I flip a switch, and I'm standing with all these bees swarming around me. And I'm like feeling like Batman as he stands up. And he's facing his fear of all these bats swarming around him. And there I am, like, I'm Batman, but I'm with the bees. And none of them are stinging me. Let's go over and let's flip up the lever so that we could start to prime the pump for the water to start circulating. No movement, no activity, the bees are all right. Okay, now we have to put it at an angle so that once it's primed the pump, it can start sucking up the water from the cistern and putting it into the uptank. Switch it over, attack. I rush out of there and I'm running away, and here I am with all these bees and I'm just swarming and trying to get them away, and I come over to the day guard who's working near his metal working because he works as a blacksmith also, and he's got this fire and I'm like, smoke, I need smoke. And then him and his kids see me running towards them and they're rushing away and diving away like, what's happening with this foreigner? And I'm getting over there and I'm just trying to get off my shirt, and finally I get off all the bees away from me. I got stung. But I was like, from then on, I was like, okay, we need to be a little bit more careful with the bee patrol. So Mr. Elijah came and got the bees in October. We got honey, and man, that honey was sweet. I've never had honeycomb before, but honeycomb is awesome. If you've had it, great. If not, try fresh honeycomb with the bee still in it, and you just pick it out and eat it. Perfect. No joke. So mission grounds. That's one of the pieces of life for me, is taking care of the buildings and making sure that it's all running well and working. Let's go to the next slide. Language learning. When I went there, I did not know the Komba language. That's something that I needed to learn. There's around 250,000 Komba speakers, and they're in northern Ghana. They're farmers. A lot of them are farmers. And so I was blessed to be able to also go and stay with a family when I first went there. I stayed with them for about 2 to 2.5 months. And my parents, they didn't speak English. A few of their kids did know some English, but they were told, don't speak any English to him because he needs to learn as a baby learns the language through listening. And so for about 2 to 2.5 months, I stayed there in the village and was blessed with the opportunity to just get to pick up pieces of the language. What are sounds in Komba? How do they greet one another? How do we start to just form sentences, basic sentences as a child? And by no means was I proficient at the end of those 2 months. No. I knew very little, but it was a base to start to continue to build from. Well, as I was staying there, my host mother just took great pride. It was a feather in her hat for me to be eating her cooking, to be sleeping in her in their house, and for her to be the one who got to teach me Komba. And so she, one day, as we go to the market, here's a picture from market. They have these things laid out in the open air market. And she would point to something and say the word, and I had my phone and I'd record it. And she'd point at the red thing and say, Ikanjo. And then I would record Ikanjo and I'd say, Ikanjo. And like, oh yeah, that's dried chili pepper. Okay, imwaso. So that's the dried okra in the gray. And I'd say, imwaso. And she'd point to something else. Eno, I say Eno, and record it. And this other lady really wanted to get in the action, who is right there from the village also. She wanted to also teach me Komba. So she holds up this white little thing and she says, Mbai kwasa. And I'm like, oh, I've heard that there's this thing called shea butter that's sold from West Africa. It's white. This must be it, because I've never seen this thing before. And it's white, and I'm in West Africa, so maybe this is shea butter. I pull out my phone, I record what she says, I'm gonna practice this word for shea butter. And we get back home, and I'm walking around that compound, and I see this white thing over in like the area where they do the cooking, and I'm like, oh, there it is. So I pick it up, and I'm practicing by kwasa and say it to people and the family, and they're like, yeah, yeah. Okay. And one Sunday, as I'm walking back from church, my Ghanaian supervisor is with me, and I want to make sure I know the word for shea butter correct. So I play it on my phone, and I'm saying, so I heard this word, and I think this is the word for shea butter, right? And I say, play it, and he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's the word for shea butter, right? And he's like, she's saying, I want to sell this. I'm like, no, it's shea butter. It's like, no, she's saying, I want to sell this. So I've been walking around for a couple of weeks in my family's house with their laundry soap saying, I want to sell this. I learn, you laugh, and you move on. That's a part of language learning. You have these experiences, you make mistakes, you live life with people, you laugh together. And you move on. You learn how to live and cry and laugh, and that's a part of language learning, and it's special. Culture learning is another thing. Language and culture go hand in hand. As we speak, it reflects how we perceive the world. Well, as I stayed there with the host family also, a lot of my time besides just listening is also seeing how does life work. What's the rhythm of life? They wake up, they go to the field, they come back. I mean, I'm this lazy person who wakes up late. I woke up at 5 a.m. I mean, they were already up and at it at like 4:30 before the sun's up. And I'm getting up at 5 and I'm like, oh my goodness, how do you do this? And so, but they're out to farm, and I go with them to farm, come back, or maybe I sit around the house to see what's my mother doing, what are my siblings doing. And I notice that they, like, it's really important to be clean and to have different aspects of the house, the perception of what's clean and not clean and how you clean things. And so to sweep the compound yard each morning is something that you have to do, that one of my sisters or my mother would do. And after about a week, they wanted to sweep my room. And I realized, oh, that's something that needs to be done more often. And so here I was, this dirty person in this room, not sweeping it. And so I was, after a few weeks of seeing what went on, I was like, well, I'm gonna sweep my room this day just to help them and to try to just learn. And so I go out and I pick up what I think is a broom. I pick up that lower thing down there because I've seen them use to sweep with that. And I go into my room and they see me pick up this instrument and be like, what's he going to do with it? And they see me go into my room, and they're following, and they peer through the door to see what I'm doing, and I'm going to, you know, show that I know something about the culture. And I bend down, and I'm sweeping my room, and they're like, wait, 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 wait. They come in, they're like, stop. I'm like, what? No, no, you're thinking they're just trying to be kind, and I'm going to sweep it. It's okay. I keep sweep, trying to sweep, and they're like, stop, 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 and they take it from me, and they leave the room, and I'm like, what's wrong? They come back with the thing on top, and they give that to me, and they at first they like show how to sweep with it, and I'm like, but it's the same thing. And nope. So there I am. I'm like, okay. So I learned and I continue to sweep the room and I finish sweeping the room. They're both brooms. They have different uses. I didn't know that. And I learned through my mistakes. The bottom one is for sweeping your yard outside the front entrance. And it's made of rougher material so it can work with the dirt more. The top one's made from grasses the seeds have been kind of pulled off, and it works really fine and thin, and that's for sweeping inside the house. And you may say, wow, that's kind of primitive. No. That's, I think, ingenuitive, and it's using your resources, because there are access to brooms that we're used to, that we know, that you can sweep like this, but once it breaks, you have to go buy a new one. And also, once it breaks, like, how do you fix it? Whereas with this one, you have the resources there, plus it picks things up even better than a regular broom that we use here with the floors they have. And you can also scoop with it and take stuff out. And so it works really well. And here I was as this silly American who didn't know how to use a broom. Oh my goodness. You start from scratch, you learn as a baby, you don't know anything, and you just learn. Let's go to the next one, church life. We're a part of the body of Christ and people who live all around the world. And it's great. We've got Comba brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a live and active Lutheran church there, and there are other churches that are in Comba land also. But there are these people there that worship God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I said, 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago, they were reading the exact same readings we had in church today. And I just think that is so neat when I'm there and I'm worshiping with them, and to think people in the U.S. will be reading this later today. How cool is that? And this is from Easter Convention. And so for Christmas and Easter, churches from the area, the Comba Lutheran churches, come together and they have several days of worship services and all day worship services and devotions, and it goes late into the evening, like 10, 11, midnight when you finish, and then you wake up in the morning and you start the thing all over again. It is awesome. And so this is from Easter 1 year, and they're dancing in a circle right there, and that's just a big part of worship. There's movement with the music. It's like you can't get the beat of Africa out of you. You hear the drum. You have to have the drums there for music, for the worship service. There was one worship service where I was where they had a malfunction with one of the drums that they were playing with, and no one knew how to sing or dance. It was like the organ had stopped and no one could do a cappella. And once they got the drum fixed, then everyone knew how to dance and sing once again. It was great. And so here they are worshiping after the offering, and they're dancing and singing songs, praise worship songs to God in Comba. And that is awesome. Let's go to the next slide. And now we'll come back to where we are here. So those are a few stories from some aspects of life in Africa, in Ghana. I should say Africa, it's a big continent. Ghana is a big country. So some pictures, stories from Bintiri, where I've lived. We'll come back to here and now. In December, you can
share. In December we got married in Kansas City. So here's a picture of us. I have not been to Bintiri. I've been to southern Nigeria just because of
Ghana.
Southern, yeah. What did I say?
Nigeria.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there too.
I've been to, yeah, I grew up in Nigeria. I've been to Southern Ghana. My parents actually left Nigeria and are actually serving in South Ghana with LCMS World Mission. It's like a 14-hour drive, though, so even though we're in the same country, it'll still be a long distance. So I've been to Ghana, but I've not been to Bintiri. So we're excited to hopefully return when that time comes.
You can go to the next slide.
There's another picture from Kansas City, our wedding. It was a wonderful day. We had a lot of family, very special dear friends there at the wedding. So happy we did that before COVID and that we've been able to be together during this COVID time. All right, next. All right, so like I said, we are hoping to return to Ghana. We don't know when, just with how COVID hit. A lot of our plans and things shifted and changed. Like Michael said, he's working on a thesis. And so that's kind of where we are right now. We're still in Dallas. Michael working on his thesis. That's probably where we're going to be for the next several months of working on thesis. And then we're still planning to return to Ghana. We're kind of watching this COVID things and see how things evolve. Today, borders are not open in Ghana, so you cannot travel into the country. They have a plan to reopen borders, but we kind of want to see how does that all happen and watch a little bit before we just dive back in. That's our plan. We just don't know yet how it's going to happen. And so prayers would be appreciated as we continue to watch those things and continue to be patient and just many unknowns for us in our near future. So that would be much appreciated. I think
We are blessed to be a part of God's mission. And some people may say, oh, it's Michael and Naomi that are over in Ghana, or it's Michael and Naomi's mission. It's not. It's God's mission. We believe that God calls us and blesses all of us to be a part of his mission, which is sharing Christ crucified, risen, and ascended with everyone around us. And it's a blessing that we all get to partake in. And that includes people in Ghana. That includes people here in the U.S. And here is Mr. Elijah and Evangelist Chebong, two mentors for me in Kombaland, who are a part with you in this mission of Bible translation. And there have been many times when I've been discouraged, where they've encouraged me. There have been many times where I've been discouraged about, do I understand the Komba language? Do I know anything about Hebrew? Am I in the right field? Am I doing the right thing? And I'm heading back home, and as I'm getting close back to the mission grounds, there's just a sense of peace that comes over. And I think that it's peace that God provides through prayer that other people are praying, God, please be with Michael there in Ghana. And God has this gift where he listens to our prayers and he responds how he chooses. And there have been times I've been sick, and I think I know it's only through the grace of God that I've gotten better and that I'm alive. And I think it's through God's grace also that he listens to prayers of you guys as you pray, and you're a part of God's mission. And thank you. There have been people who have sent emails to me, people who have written letters, who have sent me Facebook messages. Those are so special also and encouraging, and that's a great way to connect, and we love to connect with you in God's mission that way. Let's go to the next slide. We're getting close to the end here. And we want to thank you for partnering with us through your prayers. Thank you for partnering with us through letters. As I go back to prayers, I think when we joined online in April, like, you didn't realize we were joining you for a worship service, but I believe that you guys prayed for us during one of those worship services. And that was really special for us to just show up instead of we're standing here and you guys pray for us because, well, we're here in the room with you, but to not realize we're joining you for that worship service and to hear you pray for us, that was like, goosebumps cool. And so prayers, letters, thanks for writing to us. Thanks for being advocates and sharing with other people about the Ministry of Bible Translation. Other ways that you can partner with us, we have a group. It's a closed group. It's called Ursuline Updates. So you can go to that on Facebook and ask to join, and I can approve you, and you can see updates we give. They're about one or two a month. We also send out prayer newsletters about quarterly. So if you want and you're not receiving those prayer newsletters, we have sign-up sheets in the back there. You can sign up, either receive it electronically or hard copy. Some people say, hey, we're interested in also financially partnering. If you would like to do that, you can go online to lbt.org /donate and select Michael Ursuline. And thank you, yeah, through your church offerings also. Let's go to the next slide. We'll close with a reading of John 3, verse 16 to 17. This is in Komba. Mambu uumbor kajien drinya naya kagembu. Le uta ubije gang seti. Ke wanga uyeda. Ke walikbo. Ama ulikai lemiafa lakajo ndiami. Uumbor ka nantui ubije drinya naya ke. Unambi drinya le. Ama ubule drinya ya likai fega. In English, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through his Son, he would save the world, forgive the world. And that's the gift that God gives to us, and we get to hear about that in his word. And thank you for being a part of that, for letting us share. If you'd like to hear more, feel free to see us after church. We'll be in the back. We've got 1 minute. So feel free to ask questions later. Sorry, it's like 10:10 and there's another church service, so we realize you want to get going to that. So let's close in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word in the life that it gives. Please be with us as for those who are coming for worship, that you prepare their hearts and minds to receive your word, hear your word, hear forgiveness proclaimed over them for the sins that have been committed. Know that they're forgiven and to enter and be able to enter, and that you enter and come to us. You come to us through your word, through your body, and through your blood. And please be with them as they prepare for communion to receive your body and blood. For those who came to church earlier today and heard your word and also were able to partake in communion, please be with them as they go out, that you bless and keep them safe and be with them and their families, and that they would live in joy knowing that they're forgiven, that they've tasted and seen that you are good, and that your word would be a sweet reminder, a sweet taste like fresh honeycomb in their lips, in their mouths, as they go home and live their lives throughout this week. And please keep them all safe. Keep us all safe until we come again and hear your word again next week. We thank you and we praise you. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the life you give. In your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you.